Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word of God, and I ask that you would grip us by your word, and that we would be your people, just like in the book of Acts, how you gave the Holy Spirit to those who obeyed you. That's our desire, Lord, to obey your Holy Spirit in these last days, and that we would hold fast to you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, 2 Kings 17, if you have your Thompson chain, this puts us at about 732 BC. Now, an important date to remember, 722, 721 BC, 722, right in there is where Assyria takes over the northern kingdom of Israel. And that's what we're studying tonight. It's about a 10-year time period we're going to be looking at. And it, again, if you want to think about what this is, it's being overtaken by sin. And valuable chapter, not a pleasant chapter, not one that we necessarily, again, I don't know anyone doing a topical is going to turn here. So by the way of going right through the scriptures, we come across very important things from my perspective. So a Bible study tonight in 2 Kings 17, entitled Drifting. Entitled Drifting. Listening again in preparation to this chapter, and these stats are old, but I'm not big on stats because I don't make decisions off of stats, but you should be aware of this. One of the things that has drifted away from us is this term evangelical. Just straight up, it's drifted. The stats that I heard today, that 28% of evangelicals don't believe that Jesus was divine. Now, drifting, right? Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, 2, and 3. Drifting. We can always think that we're still in the same spot, but how do you know without a point of reference? If you go swimming in the ocean and you're unaware of some of the cross currents, you may go out in one place only to drift a half a mile down the beach, unless you maintain and keep a point of reference. So if you're in the ocean, a lifeguard stand is not a point of reference, because as you pass that one, you won't even be able to detect as you get on to the next one. Oh, I'm still in the same spot. Now, I bring this up because it takes 240 years for the northern kingdom of Israel to be overtaken for their disobedience. So if you're thinking tonight, a good way to organize this is sin, disobedience, judgment. Now, next week, chapter 18, sin, disobedience, repentance, revival. Do you see our great need in a society and a culture that is drifting? 28% of evangelicals say that Jesus is not divine. And I think they're old stats, by the way. What I was looking at today wasn't, again, definitely wasn't updated, you know, Barna research or Pew research as usually the two that stats that get quoted. Hebrews 2, verse 1, here's our point of reference. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. Young's literal translation says, unless we slide aside. You know, you think some of them use the term slip, but I like this. Again, all these, this word is meant to be a visual word. And I would say in my lifetime, and I can say this now, that I can bear witness to the drifting of the body of Christ. Here's our point of reference. We must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? Thus revealing the Gospels and the record of everything that Jesus said, and the apostles who wrote down and recorded all of the New Testament. An important understanding that we would take to this truth, how shall we escape? Well, back in 2 Kings 17, the people of God did not escape. Okay. This is important for us. Peter describes the judgment will begin at the house of God. Now, I need to come back to this later, but in case I forget, just this phrase, those who practice these things. Okay. And we've got to have a point of reference. Now, it's not uncommon to find, a church, for lack of a better term, flying a transgender flag or a homosexual flag or some sort of banner. Some of these churches leave them up year round and say things like, we leave the judging to God. And in that, they're making a judgment. I mean, so with a bit of fear of the Lord tonight, I come to this chapter, entitled it Drifting, 2 Kings 17. In the 12th year of Ahaz, king of Judah, Hoshea, the son of Elah, became king of Israel and Samaria, and he reigned 9 years. Now, as you're studying the kings, tonight's the last night that you have to keep northern and southern kingdoms straight, because this is the end for the northern kingdom. Hoshea, last king. You come to his name, you're done studying the kings. 18 of the evil kings, all of them evil in the northern kingdom. And you might perceive it's got to be because of the last one. Well, it says in verse 2, he did evil in the sight of the Lord, but not as the kings of Israel who were before him. So I believe that's put in there by the Holy Spirit so we get this understanding that just because it happens in his lifetime, it's not because he is the only one who has done this. And thus picking up the title tonight, Drifting. Now, I'm going to use this a little bit for us because my exhortation to each one of us is to give the more earnest heed to the things you have heard from the Lord. And if I would begin to introduce along one line, it would be in this phrase, walk in his ways. And just set yourself to where your conversation, your manner of life. We studied one on Sunday, which I don't think we can let slip, even though the culture worldwide is, again, under that control of the ruler of this world, there is a constant bombardment against holiness. The instruction to the Thessalonian church was, it's God's will for you, your sanctification. Paul tells Timothy that each one, again, in a house, there's vessels for honor and dishonor, and thus writing to Timothy, who's going to go out and minister, and then how many ministers study 1 and 2 Timothy so they know how to minister like Paul ministered, thus describing what you use your vessel for, how anyone who cleanses himself from the dishonor, former use, and now has his vessel cleansed and fit for the master's use, the instruction that, again, I'm thinking tonight as we come to this, and it matches with 2 Kings 17. The things that the people of God got into that were just like those that worshiped other gods, and the way we would say that, the worldliness has come into the church, so now that the church is just as worldly, and therefore the practices. Practice these things, as I use that phrase tonight. Now, this instruction of the taking heed to the word of God, that which was spoken. Back to 2 Kings 17, we have Hoshea doing evil in the sight of the Lord. Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, came up against him. Hoshea became his vassal. Now, this is the introduction of the first step of bondage. Okay? Now, remember, we've studied this. Assyria has already been a superpower for 150 years, but they haven't made a mention in Scripture as far as the history of them attacking Israel or Judah, and I believe that's because of the book of Jonah. And we take a look at this, Hosea becomes a vassal and pays him tribute and money. And over here, again, if you're writing notes or in your Bible, just write this phrase, sin costs. Sin brings you into bondage of another. And this is one of the issues. A free people. Do you know that if you have a righteous nation and a righteous nation calls upon its young men to go to war for a righteous cause, and the nation itself values and holds that righteousness in God's eyes is right, and we walk in righteousness, and that's what we value, you can raise an army to withstand all manner of evil and wickedness. And our nation has done that in the past. We don't have that anymore. You want to measure the slip, what is it, Young's literal, the slide aside, you want to measure it? Well, since World War II, the legalization of pornography, you're going to find in the accounting of the record, 240 years of history for the Northern Kingdom of Israel, we're celebrating 250 in about 10 days, 2 weeks. And you're listening to this, and the slide aside, the drifting that becomes measurable, and it is a clear mark that these two go together. The worship of sex and pleasure. Again, you can see the slide in our nation, our culture, and just think what's now available over the airwaves of what is allowed. If you would just measure the FCC rules over the years of what is allowed to be broadcast, you could very easily say this world is drifting. And then to find now that not only that there are many other ways in which, you know, this material is distributed, let alone to find out that this is the primary sin in the church. Therefore, we study 1 Thessalonians 4 in the light of the soon coming of Jesus Christ to rapture his church, and it's a call to holiness. 2 Corinthians 6, call to holiness, right into chapter 7, the holiness of the church. This helps to intercession. I hit this every month, that the spirit of holiness would be upon the church. And so in the context of drifting, you might find that you've drifted of what you did not allow before. Now it has snuck by the guard, and the watchman on the wall wasn't watching very well, and next thing you know, there are things that have made their way into your own life that you measure and say, how did I ever let this get by? Now, we come to a study like this, and just he paid him tribute money. Sin always costs. Unrighteousness, sin and unrighteousness ultimately costs the life. Now, again, I also put there too, it's the beginning of the yoke. Romans 6:16. Do you not know to whom you present yourself, a slave to obey? You are that one slave whom you obey. Whether it's a slave of sin, which leads to death, or a slave of obedience, which leads to righteousness. My heart's desire tonight for you, church, again, is an understanding of how becoming a slave to obedience leads to that righteousness in your life. Because this whole world is slip-sliding to unrighteousness. And then men, right, unrighteous men, are suppressing the truth in ungodliness and unrighteousness. And therefore, presenting, again, in the seeming swoop of a decision and by vote of representation, even churches now have voted that formerly sexually immoral behaviors, of which the Bible says that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God, are now deemed by vote moral and acceptable for pastors and leaders in particular denominations. Now, the drift is on. Let alone to even understand the practice of accepting the Antichrist, the counterfeit Christ, 28% of evangelicals, he doesn't have to be divine. Huh. Now, Second Kings 17:4, the king of Assyria uncovered a conspiracy by Hoshea, for he had sent messengers to So, king of Egypt, and brought no tribute to the king of Assyria as he had done year by year. Therefore, the king of Assyria shut him up and bound him in prison. So, second step. Started out with a yoke. Now, it's imprisonment. Now, Paul tells Timothy to be praying for those, again, I believe Christians, who have been taken captive by the enemy, again, depending on your version, at his will or to do his will. Very important that we would understand there is an imprisonment. Sin costs. It brings you onto a yoke of tribute where you're having to pay dearly for your sin. And then if you're trying to cover it up, you have to pay twice as much. What's my exhortation to all of you? Save the money and come to the light. Save the cost. Now, for those who measure stats and are looking at the widespread availability of through handheld devices, through private surfing, through all these things, that one of the biggest problems in the church right now is the shame. The shame over what I'm doing. Now, why I say that, again, not me. I'm not saying it because I'm doing that. But that's the burden. And therefore, I would say, I'm not surprised to find another drifting going on. Now, pre-COVID numbers had 1 in 5 had been to a counselor, a psychologically based counselor. And after COVID, the numbers went from 20% to 25%. 1 in 4 were drifting. Great money for mental health, very little money for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Great money for that phone. I mean, this has got to be an idol. Don't have money for missions, but have money for subscriptions. Now, we know this. And again, I'm not here to like, this is not intended to beat someone down, but quite the opposite. Is for each and every one to hold to this tonight. I got to get my point of reference. I know that the world is drifting. That means if I'm standing still, I will experience, as it were, a current going by me, and I'll be able to detect that the world is moving towards more and more ungodliness, and I need to be steadfast, immovable. And I, when I stand up and I stay standing and I'm not drifting, I'm holding to God's word. I expect to not really be all that well liked when called upon to speak the truth of God's word. I have a very sincere desire that's got to increase, is that we've got to get the word of God to the city of Fargo. Now, describing that, the word of the gospel, yes, but even the teaching of God's word. So, the king of Assyria, and by the way, it's not Shalmaneser anymore. It's another king who took over for Shalmaneser and actually defeated Shalmaneser. And you would think that maybe a switch in foreign kings and you could get free from the bondage. And the answer of that is absolutely not. How many people in this country think if they elect a different president, they're free from their bondage and now they get to do what they want to do? Shut him up and bound him in prison. Now, I can't remember the last time I've read Pilgrim's Progress, but I encourage you, if you've never read that, pick it up. Even to understand the being in prison with the giant despair and what it means to be beat every day by the enemy. And so just what am I calling upon for us? Walk in the light. What's the truth? Walk in the light as he's in the light. Walking in the light, you have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Now, the numbers, stats, usually you began at 12. Now it's beginning at 9. I'm very deliberate. Very deliberate. Parents, you have 9-year-olds and you haven't been keeping track of everything they're looking at, their friends and everything they're talking about, you're already behind. Okay? Let alone to say, if you ignored from 9 and now you've got 12, 13, 14-year-olds, 15-year-olds, you're already behind concerning what they're bombarded with and tempted with, and a fascination with evil. Do I need to explain that that's exactly how Satan puts that forth? Now, we're going to learn from this that it was not just when this king got into power, but this has been a 240-year drifting. Now, in your own lifetime, I pray that you have the testimony of chapter 18, which was sin, disobedience, repentance, revival. And then you've got to keep that thing from going back to sin. So here's something I've learned. If you are repeating a matter and you're back at the same place and you thought you were free from something and you're back in bondage to it, that's evidence of unrepented sin. You might find that you keep repeating the same fights every 2 or 3 months with your family members. It's the evidence of unrepented sin. Now, verse 5, the king of Assyria went throughout all the land and went up to Samaria and besieged it 3 years. For 3 years. In the 9th year of Hoshea, king of Assyria took Samaria and carried Israel away to Assyria, placed them in Hala, by the Habor and the river Gozan, and in the city of the Medes. Without fanfare, king comes up 3 years later, they're gone. Now, if you saw the progression, it was tribute, imprisonment, captivity, gone, taken away. Never, ever again to return in that way to Samaria. Those 10 tribes never returned that way together to one place ever again. This begins now the rule of the foreign kings. When Judah is carried away captive, that is their last king. And they set a time of rule of foreign kings up until the rebirth of the nation on May 14th, 1948, where they have their own sovereignty once again. What's the big issue in verse 6? You say tribute, started out as a vassal, then imprisonment. Now they're carried away captive and they're carried to different places. The biggest issue, no longer free people living in the place where God had given inheritance. They're gone. Now, I'm going to go back to Hebrews 2. And this is the lesson. The word spoken through angels proves steadfast. Now, here in your notes tonight, 2 Kings 17, you can write an obscure chapter. That's not really not obscure, but we just don't go to it and don't know it. Leviticus 26. Everything in Leviticus 26 actually describes what will happen to Israel if they worship and serve other gods. The progression. Or in other words, the drifting. So, I'm specifically illustrating the drifting. Now, that which you, when you were growing up, and you could have liberty to do as a Christian, your children will not be able to withstand that liberty because that very thing that you had liberty to do, they see it as your liberty. That very thing could be the very thing that takes them away. So you come to this. Every transgression, and this is my phrase, every transgression and disobedience received a just reward. What's the just reward? They are carried away. God does not allow them to remain. Now, we would probably like to sort things out, kind of like James and John, sons of thunder. Shall we call fire down from heaven upon these Samaritans that won't receive us? We're going to have the beginning of the Samaritans, which is what this chapter is. But aren't we maybe as guilty concerning fire from heaven, concerning what I have termed the fake church, if we're not careful. Verse 7, for so it was that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt and under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and they had feared other gods. Leviticus 26. They've been drifting for 240 years as the northern kingdom, and also then takes them all the way back to the time that God did deliver them, and they had his commands. Things like, I am the Lord your God, you shall have no other gods before me. What does verse 7 say? They feared other gods. They served other gods. Now, what are these gods? Now, you think about this in and of itself. A phone's just a phone. A computer's just a computer. But it has everything to do about what do you use it for? Where do you go? You can just example. Verse 8, had walked in the statutes of the nations whom the Lord had cast out from before the children of Israel and the kings of Israel, which they had made. And think of that, right? So walking in the ways, so they walked like the other nations, drifting. Also, the children of Israel secretly did against the Lord their God the things that were not right. So sin always leads to living unright. Okay, you hear that? If you do not confess your sins, it leads to living in unrighteousness. Now, what is the punishment for sin? The sin itself. No longer free from it. Yeah. Also, the children of Israel secretly did against the Lord, the God, things that were not right. They built for themselves high places in all their cities, from watchtower to fortified city. They set up for themselves sacred pillars and wooden images. Wooden images, check your footnotes. That's the Hebrew word asherim. And that, again, is the worship of the goddess of sex and pleasure. Therefore, don't miss that. That's exactly, as I would describe, the drifting that's gone on in our nation since World War II. You'd be hard-pressed to say that our society and culture doesn't worship asherim. So they might not be a wooden image, but the availability of all perverse images, accessibility at an all-time high, drifting. Are you willing, parents, are you willing to keep your kids from evil? Much easier if you can get it to them before it's inside them. But it's already in there, that desire for evil. Every high hill, every green tree. There they burned incense on all the high places, like the nations whom the Lord had carried away before them. And they did wicked things to provoke the Lord to anger. For they served idols, of which the Lord had said to them, you shall not do this thing. Now, let the word sting from Hebrews 2. Every sin and disobedience, right? For every sin and disobedience, there was a just reward. Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all of his prophets, every seer saying, turn from your evil ways, keep my commandments and my statutes according to all the law which I command your fathers, and by which I sent you by my servants, the prophets. Verse 13 is your anchor in the sea of drifting. Was God faithful? God is faithful. Even when tempted, what can you honestly say? God is faithful. There's always a way out. And you've got to teach these things. So, keep my commandments, my statutes. Nevertheless, they would not hear, but stiffened their necks. Now, it's a picture. Stiffened necks is a picture. It's a picture of an oxen who does not want the yoke put on. a stiffened neck. Won't receive the yoke. What did Jesus teach? You're weary, you're heavy laden. What's the remedy? The remedy, my brothers and sisters, is not to get a Christian counselor. The remedy, my brothers and sisters, is to come to Jesus. Now, a shepherd will bring you to Jesus. A worthless shepherd, Ezekiel 34, will not care for you. A worthless shepherd is not going to be concerned that you are basing your diagnosis of your problem and your solution upon God's word. Therefore, we have an ever-increasing population of worthless shepherds. I know the Bible says that women aren't to be pastors. Some openly do that. Some unknowingly have become pastors in another religion, again, with all manner of learning from 2 Kings 17, after the manner of the world. And they have degrees and letters and studies and philosophies and after the other nations. And don't be fooled by the moniker Christian. Nevertheless, they would not hear, but stiffen their necks. I have been in many meetings which give the perception of, we want to hear, Pastor, what God's word says, only to find out when I start pastoring and giving the word of God that they don't want the word of God. It's hard. Stiffen their necks like the necks of their fathers who did not believe in the Lord their God. So out of Hebrews chapter 2, you now have full-on access in your notes concerning the sin of unbelief, and you can write Hebrews 3 and 4. Why did they not enter the rest? Because of the sin of unbelief. Now, if you believe Jesus and you believe that those that practice these things will not inherit the kingdom of God, you would never be able to drift into sexually immoral behavior and call it moral, because those words would sting and you would say those that practice such things do not inherit the kingdom of God. Stumbling's one thing, practicing, the moment you say it's moral, what are you stating? That's my practice and there's nothing wrong with it. Drifting. They rejected his statutes and covenant, verse 15, that he had made with their fathers, and his testimonies which he had testified against them. They followed idols, became idolaters, went after the nations who were around them, all around them, concerning whom the Lord had charged them that they should not do like them. Okay. Do we have a similar charge? Yes, we do. Ephesians 4, 17. We are not to live like the Gentiles do in the vanity of their minds. Foolish hearts darkened. Okay. Describing, how about Romans 1, reprobate mind. We are not to be given over to the same things that the world is given over unto, nor are we to search and find out the solutions that the world is using to solve spiritual, sinful diagnosis of what the real problem is. Now, from God's perspective, what is he describing? Sin and disobedience. You do not need a college degree to understand obedience. You do not need, you know, word studies, commentaries, and what do they call those things? Dictionaries, concordances. You don't need those things to understand what? Disobedience. So this is where this lands, and God's describing they disobeyed. They left all the commandments of the Lord their God, verse 16. Now, if you circle that and you put yourself to this, I will keep the commandments of Jesus Christ, my Lord. and therefore you have your point of reference. Now, what happens when you disobey and the Holy Spirit convicts you? Then you can confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive your sins. And you're experiencing this thing called conviction and repentance. That's the normal Christian life for me. It's not that you don't sin. It's that when you do sin, you confess it, you repent, you revive. What we find out in this drifting, as they left the commandments of the Lord their God, made for themselves a molded image and two calves and a wooden image, and worshiped all the hosts of heaven and served Baal, thus describing at some point those that had gone before them had drifted and substituted and had disobeyed, and the former generation's disobedience will just be assimilated into my life unless I forsake my practices and take up obedience to the Word of God. It's one of my best techniques for premarital discipleship, marriage discipleship, and especially child training. Forsake everything that's been handed off to you and take up the Word of God. Now, if you didn't think it wasn't related to the kids, look at verse 17. They caused their sons and daughters to pass through the fire. Now, should be a startling list, and it's listed twice, that disobedient to parents is placed right in line with all of the other practices that identify the perilous days that we live in and the practices that will be. Those that practice such things, in the end, they don't inherit the kingdom of God. Something that straightforward. Now, again, I'm not intending a heaviness, but if the northern kingdom of Israel is going to drift, and then every punishment, every sin and disobedience receives a punishment because of the disobedience to the word, a just reward. The just reward is they're put out of the land. Now, taking this up, they left all the commandments of the Lord their God, made the images, caused their sons and daughters to pass through the fire, practice witchcraft. Now, I terrorized my kids while they were growing up over rebellion, because the scriptures concerning King Saul, that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. So I'm not going to live with a bunch of witches in my house. Now, I'm not doing it to be mean. The word of God reached my heart, and I understood that if rebellion is as witchcraft, and you have them practicing witchcraft, soothsaying, sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. Verse 18, therefore the Lord was very angry with Israel, and he removed them from his sight. Now we're told that there were days of divine long-suffering as Noah prepared the ark. God gives him the command, and God in his long-suffering waits even longer while Noah's building this ark. And it takes a long time to build, 100 years. You can talk, is God patient with the northern kingdom of Israel? And you would say 240 years patient from when they had instituted the calf worship and they were killing their children in the fire. How many babies have we killed in our country? Now, I think the drifting, 1972, it became legally protected. Don't think it wasn't going on before then. Practice witchcraft. Sons and daughters passed through the fire. Sold themselves to do evil. Lord was very angry. Removed them from his sight. Every sin and disobedience receives a just reward. He removes them, and God did it. Therefore, the Lord was very angry. So here's the truth. God is patient and long-suffering. We're living in days of long-suffering. Peter makes that point twice in his second letter, that That's what we're in right now. These are days of long suffering. What does that mean? It means salvation. So back to us who understand this, and then the importance of taking the gospel of. And Judah also, he left the tribe of Judah alone. Also, Judah did not keep the commandments of the Lord their God, but walked in the statutes of Israel, which they made. Now, Judah is going to survive for 124 more years because of this most wonderful thing that Romans 2:4 says many forget about, that the goodness and the kindness of the Lord leads you to repentance. If any of you are brave enough to read Leviticus 26 tonight before you go to bed, you're going to find out that that's a great life. Obedience is a great life, filled with goodness and kindness. Man, when I terrorized my kids, if they would want to do rebellion, you should have seen just how much more I presented how kind and loving obedience is. We had so much love and fun and kindness over obedience. I think I might even be able to afford royalties. I maybe should go for this. Judah did not keep the commandments of the Lord their God. The Lord rejected all the descendants of Israel, afflicted them, delivered them into the hand of plunderers until he had cast them from his sight. And I'll just add a footnote here. Assyria was horrible, what they did to people. Plucked their eyes out, took their tongues out, skinned their noses, cut off their ears. And if they took over a place that they had besieged, and if they had to work hard under that siege, they were more cruel once they got in. Piles of heads outside of the city gate to be a warning against anybody else who would dare to withstand Assyria. Okay. The Lord rejected the descendants of Israel. Verse 21, he tore Israel from the house of Jeroboam, tore Israel from the house of David. They made Jeroboam son unto Baal king. Jeroboam drove Israel from following the Lord and made them commit a great sin. I believe it started out with him in giving a different depiction with these calves. This is the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. Just change the depiction of God. A great sin. Thou shalt not have any graven images. Now, I remember when American Idol became a TV show, and I wasn't watching much TV, and I found out there's a show called American Idol. I'm like, what? I was in absolute disbelief that was, no, it's not. Right? Just like when I met Joey's mom on the Mexico mission trip, and Joey's 6'2" and his mom is 4'9". He's like, this is my mom. I said, no, she's not. Where'd you find this woman? She's not your mom. When I heard American Idol, there's no way that's a TV show. And since then, and all the drifting, you remember the show Lucifer? And just go right down the list. Those things that you would say unheard of, that those things would be depicted in the culture, drifting. Yeah. The children, verse 22, the children of Israel walked in all the sins of Jeroboam, which he did. They did not depart from them. Listen up. You cannot go with church culture. You cannot go with family culture. You cannot go with any culture. Because all of those cultural practices, which may start out good, end up drifting. Verse 23, until the Lord, they did not depart from the sins until the Lord removed Israel out of his sight. He had to do it. That's the only way they were going to quit. If God doesn't correct and he lets his children stay in sin and sin kills them, what kind of God is that? I think you get the point. The Lord removed Israel out of his sight, as he had said by all his servants, the prophets. Therefore, right, take the more earnest heed to the things you have heard, lest you drift away, slide aside, slip. So Israel was carried away from their own land to Assyria, as it is to this day. Then the king of Assyria brought people from Babylon, Kutah, Ava, Hamath, and Sepharvaim, and placed them in the cities of Samaria instead of the children of Israel, and they took possession of Samaria and dwelt in its cities. Right there, verse 24, you can write, when Jesus shows up, again, this people group's identified Samaritans. Now, was Jesus prejudiced against the Samaritans? No, everybody else was. But he shared the gospel, John 4. We've been there and been on that Israel trip. Furthermore, you ever heard the parable of the good Samaritan? Again, I think you catch the point. It's an intermix of people. It was so at the beginning of their dwelling there that they did not fear the Lord. Therefore, the Lord sent lions among them, which had killed some of them. So they spoke to the king of Assyria, saying, the nations whom you have removed and placed in the cities of Samaria do not know the rituals of the God of the land. Are you surprised that 28% of evangelicals say that Jesus is not divine? Well, what's an evangelical? What's a Christian? I have a friend of mine who's got like a long description. I'm a born-again, Bible-believing, spirit-filled, something evangelical Christian. But if you just hold fast the word of God, you simply say, I am a Christian, and it means all that. The nations whom you have removed and placed in the city of Samaria do not know the rituals of the God of the land. Therefore, he sent lions among them. Indeed, they're killing them because they do not know the rituals of the God of the land. This is the living God. Then the king of Assyria commanded, saying, send there one of the priests whom you brought from there. Let him go and dwell there, and let him teach them the rituals of the God of the land. So you're already then taking a priest who's corrupted his way in the worship of the calves, and you bring him back to instruct others. Now, has ever more a time in history where false prophets have a platform to appear true with this thing called the internet? Then one of the priests whom they had carried away from Samaria came and dwelt in Bethel and taught them how they should fear the Lord. However, every nation continued to make gods of its own. That's verse 29. However, the world continues to worship the works that they can make. Straightforward. Put them in shrines on the high places which the Samaritans had made. Every nation in the cities where they dwelt, they assimilated quite nicely to the pedestal to continue to worship whatever they wanted to worship. Listen, it's not that they can get by without worshiping something. What's the truth? Every man, every woman, every child does what? Worships something. The men of Babylon made Sukkot Benoth. The men of Kuth made Nergal. The men of Hamath made Ashima. And the Avites made Nibhaz and Tartak, and the Sepharites burned their children in fire to Adrammelech and Anammelech, the gods of the Sepharaim. Are you not astonished of just how much America, which began with a foundation, has also drifted away from the commands and the statutes and the righteousness of the Word of God? Verse 32 is an interesting verse. I now know why all the stats are messed up. They fear the Lord, and from every class they appointed for themselves priests of high places who sacrifice for them in the shrines for the high places. Verse 33, they feared the Lord, yet served their own gods. Quite a thing to say Jesus is my Savior, and quite another to say Jesus is Lord. They served their own gods according to the rituals of the nations from among whom they were carried away. Are you surprised to find something called Chrislam, a combination between Christianity and Islam? We had a very bold candidate running for school board that says Christianity and Islam are not compatible. They're not the same thing. They don't agree. And people were saying that that was hate speech, when she wasn't hating anybody. She was just saying, we've drifted. Well, Islam says there's one God, and Christians says there's one God. They've got to be the same, because that's what those who worship their God, they tell us that. So, to this day, they continue practicing the former rituals. They do not fear the Lord, nor do they follow the statutes and their ordinances, or the law and commandments which the Lord had commanded the children of Jacob, whom he had named. Our fathers say we worship God on this mountain in this way, and you Jews say that God should be worshipped in Jerusalem. And then Jesus says the time is coming when you're not going to worship in either place, but he does reveal the spirit and truth. Verse 35. So, 34, let's see the or the law, or the commandment which the Lord had commanded the children of Jacob, whom he had named Israel. So, right there in 34, take the more earnest heed to the things you have heard, with whom the Lord had made a covenant and charged them, saying, you shall not fear other gods, nor bow to them or serve them, nor sacrifice to them. And about 140 years from here, there's going to be three young men, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, who are going to say, you don't have to play the music again, O king. We don't have to think about this again. We will not bow down and worship your God. Now, this opens up, which I think is the real truth to us tonight. I cannot solve the drifting of the world, and neither can you. But what you can do, and if you look at the New Testament, there is no nations attached to the commands. It's all to each individual believer to walk in the way of obedience with Jesus Christ. You shall not fear other gods, nor bow down to them, nor serve them, nor sacrifice to them, but the Lord, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt with great power and an outstretched arm, him you shall fear, him you shall worship, him you shall offer sacrifice. Now, right there, I just write, Jesus is Lord. The statutes, the ordinances, the law, the commandments which he wrote for you, you shall be careful to observe forever. You shall not fear other gods. Therefore, we should take the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, while the rest of the world drifts away, and many in the church drift away, and scoffers show up and say, where is the promise of his coming? And we're taking a visible effort to describe the soon return of the Lord from our studies in 1 Thessalonians to the end of the book. Where's the promise of his coming? It's right here. Get the point. The covenant that I've made with you, verse 38, you shall not forget, nor shall you fear other gods, but the Lord your God you shall fear, and he will deliver you from the hand of your enemies. However, verse 40, they did not obey. Now, does it take a Bible college degree to know what obedience is? Well, by the stats, most Bible colleges are just as immoral or half as immoral as the world. It's no longer parents that, we'll just get them to Bible college and everything will be okay. Get them in a Christian school, it'll be okay. Homeschool them, it'll be okay. It doesn't work that way. With the access everywhere, however, they did not obey, but they followed the former rituals. Now, if I could offer up to you Romans 6, and just working out one thing between you and the Lord, obedience, obeying him. When you disobey, make it right. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Now, when you've trained your children, and they've been trained by this rod of correction, and they've been trained by righteousness, they'll yield a peaceable fruit of righteousness, because children don't stay children. They grow up and become adults. If you don't address them, then the society has to. How many of you have been corrected by society? You think about this. So the nations feared the Lord, yet served their carved images. Also their children and their children's children have continued doing as their fathers did even to this day. So knowing this effect of drifting, I have convinced, exhorted, and rebuked with all long-suffering as teaching, as Paul instructed Timothy and Titus to do that. And therefore, I've convinced, exhorted, and rebuked all of my children so that they would be absolutely convinced that the only thing that will keep them is the Word of God. What are you learning from the record as we study it? In the midst of drifting, you have to have a point of reference. Jesus is my anchor. His teachings, his death, his resurrection, his promises. How about this promise? I will come back for you. Talk about an anchor. So Heavenly Father, we ask, we pray that we would not drift away. Plain and simple, that the parents take to heart that the kids, their children, will have the potential to drift, that they would take the more earnest heed to the things they have heard, lest their children drift away. And Lord, all of those children out there who don't have a shepherd, the children of disobedient parents, the children that they could be saved. Lord, show us how. Give us gospel power. Give us reach. Lord, we want to reach the children. Because once they're older, Lord, they've already stiffened their necks. And just ask for your Holy Ghost power. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.